I too thank the Lord for another week and all that the Lord has done for us. He's been very gracious. I desire your prayers for the Lord to bless His word this morning. I would like to speak to you this morning on trust. It's a very big subject, and it wouldn't be able to be covered all in one service because I believe that there are degrees of trust. I believe that trust is something that we grow in, the same as faith, the same as grace, that we have to have a developing point. Something has to inspire us or minister to us or give us understanding of any of those particular topics before we can begin to develop and grow and mature. So this morning, as we think about trust, we want to start with a simple trust. And how that the scripture tells us that we are to trust like little children. And that Jesus even said that you and I were to become like a little child. It also says for us to humble ourselves as little children. Maybe being an adult, it's hard for us to think of ourselves as a child, or that we need to be humble like a child. We say, well, I have knowledge, I have understanding, I am this old, we can't trust in I. We need to trust in God leading us and developing a trust that is going to last from here through eternity or to eternity. And it's a simple trust. A simple trust provides a sense of safety. In speaking about a child that feels secure with the parents, they trust in the parents. They don't have any, most children do not have any feelings of insecurity if the parents are building trust in their child, proving that they are trustworthy. So it's a sense of security and a sense of safety. And for you and me, as we grow in trust, we will also feel safety and secure. And that's what the Lord is calling for us. And it becomes then a simple trust becomes the foundation for all trust, for all of the other degrees of trust. But this trust must all have, it has a beginning. So I was reading a little story, hadn't read it in many years. It was one of my favorite books of Philip Keller, and it was Lessons from a Sheepdog. So I want to start with a little story of some lessons that he learned from his sheepdog. First of all, he needed a dog that could work sheep, and he saw a little ad for a border collie that was free, and that all that dog did was chase boys on bicycles, and he chased cars. So it was not trained. It was a 2-year-old border collie. Actually, the dog had been abused, and the dog did not trust anyone. The dog was aggressive and would not even receive any kindness. When Philip Keller went to see the dog, his heart was touched and he felt that he might be able to work with this dog. Took the dog with him. The dog was very aggressive even on the way. He tried to talk gently to him. He tried to pet him and was only met with growls and trying to bite. He gets home with the dog. He provides a comfortable place for the dog. He provides the food, the water, and everything that would cause that dog to feel love. And for a whole week, the dog would not eat. And so finally, he said he'd just have to let him run. And he turned him loose, and he ran away. And he didn't see the dog for a whole week, and he thought the dog was really gone. But one day he looked up and he saw the dog up on a ledge. And the dog was just crouched down looking upon the sheep and looking upon Philip Keller. And he decided, I'm going to win that dog. He took food and water and took it up to the ledge. And as time went on, he realized the dog was responding and eating what he would take up there. Finally, one day he was not even thinking of the dog. He was working with the sheep and standing and hear a soft, warm nose nuzzled his hand. And that dog was trusting from then on. He won his trust. And there's a lesson in that. This dog also learned to love. You know, when we trust, we can love. And this dog also learned how to obey. You know, when we trust, we can learn how to obey. And this dog became his friend. So that's the little story that inspired me for the thought this morning. It warmed my heart to think of how this man was patient and persevering to win a dog. And so that's a lesson that we need also, that God is patient, persevering, and he wants to teach us how to trust. And he's not saying, now you need to trust like this person that's been saved 50 years. He's not saying that this morning. He's saying, I want you to learn of me. And I want you to taste of me. What does the scripture say? He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we taste of the Lord and experience God in his goodness, it does something to our trust. We will be like a child that will learn to trust, like the dog learned to trust in the shepherd. He was a shepherd. And so he knew something about winning a dog. So our God desires to win our trust, and he desires for all of us to have a strong foundation. He's not expecting you to build on my foundation. He's not expecting you to do more than what you're able to right now. He wants you to simply take it one step at a time. To trust takes time. It takes experiences, plural. It takes more than one experience for you and me to learn how to trust, even to trust one another. If I don't learn to trust you as my brother and my sister, it takes time. But it takes the same kind of experiences and time and effort to learn to trust the Lord. And so often when we say, oh, we trust the Lord, we link that up to divine healing. It's so much more than just divine healing. It covers that by, certainly it does, but oh, I want to tell you, it covers every area of your life. And God wants to work in every area of your life. The request was given in. We want to have wisdom for decisions, direction to go. That's part of trust. Learning how to trust the Lord and wait. Yes. There's a lot of waiting when we are trusting in the Lord for whatever. There's many, many things that we have to learn to trust Him for. So experiences will be your teachers. One experience at a time. And it will teach you something. It will open up something that will cause you to learn that God is worthy of your trust. And so it's not only going to have the spiritual growth. Oh, definitely it will help you and me spiritually to trust. To trust in God for all things. You know, we're living in a different time than our forefathers lived. Most of us have plenty of food in our pantries. But there were generations that did not. And they actually almost lived from one meal to the next meal. And they had to trust the Lord to provide. You know what His name is? He is a provider. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. And we haven't really been tested and tried in those areas. Probably never will. And yet when we come to the place that we can learn to trust Him for His provisions, I remember a story about my grandparents. And they weren't the only ones in this state. Everyone was poor. Everyone was living from hardly on anything. My grandparents, that particular day, my grandmother fixed a meal for the children and only had enough food for the children. Did not have enough food for her and my grandpa. And so the children said, well, aren't you going to eat? And they said, no, we're not eating today. And so they were praying and seeking the Lord to provide for them. And they went out to the mailbox and there was some money that had been owed to them. That's trust. Trusting in the Lord to provide. And that was a common testimony down through the ages of time. Many miracles happened to those that put their trust in the Lord to provide for them. God is desiring to show Himself strong to each one of us. He's desiring to work some miracles in our life. He's desiring to work abundantly and above all you can ask or think. Have you ever had that happen? And all of a sudden you say, look what the Lord has provided. He's done abundantly above what I could ask or think. Oh, He wants us to experience that, and it teaches us and it causes us to trust Him more. So I want to say that trust is not exactly the same as faith, but they go hand in hand. And I want to say that you cannot hardly have faith at all unless you learn to trust. Unless you first learn how to trust. That will develop your faith. And your faith will be built on the fact that you are learning to trust. So God is always working, the scripture tells us, to build up our most holy faith. I think we could change the scripture just a little and not do damage to it. I believe He's working to build up our most holy trust. That we can start out as a child. We can have that simple trust. And that it can develop. And it can grow. And maybe it's developing and growing all of the days of our life. I find that that is so. that I'm forever needing to trust him more. So God is wanting to build us up in trust. In Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, and this should encourage our trust. I know the thoughts I have toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to do what? Give you an expected end. So that's the end of your life, but what about from here to there? How many times are you going to need trust that is building and growing and developing our faith and developing our spiritual life, and we're growing? You know, you don't hardly see a baby grow very quickly, do you? Oh, we see them grow and develop, but it seems slow that first year. Seems like that we see them one time, one Sunday, and we see them the next Sunday, and they're about the same size. Maybe we see them a week or a month later, and, oh, they're developing, they're growing. You know, that's what the Lord is wanting to see in each one of us. I'm seeing growth. I'm seeing spiritual growth. I'm seeing spiritual development. I'm seeing that trust is growing and that faith is taking hold. And this is going to be one of mine. Yes. And this is going to, I'm going to be able to put some things in their life that they will trust me for. Don't you know there's some hard places that we sometimes have? The scripture says that a man is born of a woman and is but a few days and full of trouble. Trouble is a part of our life. Heartache is a part of our life. Disappointment, trials and tests. And we need to trust through all of those. We need to trust. We've been having these messages concerning the voice of the Lord, how we hear the voice of the Lord, how he speaks. We need to trust when we know it's the voice of the Lord. We need to put it to a test. God is putting us to the test. We can test him. We can put him to the test. But if he has his thoughts that are toward us, that are peace and not of evil, wanting to give you and me an expected end, there's a reference on that that says to give you a future and a hope. God is working. Listen. God wants you to succeed more than you want to. He wants to do everything he can for you to make heaven more than what you want. So God is working out his purpose. He has a purpose. He wants to take you and me to heaven, and he begins with trust. So trust is knowing God is God. That's one of the ways we learn to trust, is acknowledging God. We read of what he has done in the past. We know the testimonies of those in the generations that we have associated with. We read their books. We understand that God is still alive. You know, there was a time that it came out in our country that God was dead. How can you trust a dead God? But we know God is alive and he is well. We know what the scripture says. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Thank the Lord. And when we believe that, when we have confidence, we can trust in that, that God is able. When the word of the Lord says God is able, can you trust it? Can you believe it? Thank the Lord, we can believe it, that God is God. And that we can know who he is and what he is. And the kind of power that he has, it's hard for us as human beings of the earth to even fathom that he is a God that spoke it all into existence, but he did. And when we believe that, and we can trust, he is a God that can work in my life if he can do all of this, see? So I have a question now. How can we, or how do we, trust in the difficult times? There's where our test will be. So I want to consider one thing. God is desiring for you to know the promises of God. Yes. that you can stand on the promises of God. And we had a little Sunday school lesson a while back on the promises. And there's actually over 8,000 promises in the Bible. But this little article that I read said that God himself made promises to mankind. Himself. Just for man. Over 7,000 promises just for man. So when you think of the promises of God and how the word says that it cannot fail, how that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can trust in his word. You can trust in the promises of God. I am thinking about the song, and it's, we won't give it all, but it says standing on the promises. Don't you know that we need to learn how to stand on the promises? We need to learn how to grasp hold of the promises, to see the word as a promise, and that it can help me to understand and to develop my trust in God. So it says standing on the promises that cannot fail. That's a phrase out of that song. Another one is standing on the promises I cannot fall. So it speaks to me. I won't fall if I'm standing on the word of God. That chorus is sort of redundant. It says standing on the promises 5 times. By the time you get finished with the chorus and the song, we ought to have the message. Standing on the promises, I will not fall. Standing on the promises that will not fail. Thank the Lord. So in Proverbs, the third chapter, and verses 5 through 8, we want to read a little bit about trust. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, I cannot trust my understanding. I cannot trust my own intellect. I cannot trust my learning. I cannot trust my ability. I have to look to the one that is worthy of my trust and that will prove his power to me if I trust him. So it says trust in the Lord, not just with part of your heart, but with all of your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. And then it said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's how we can trust. We can see in the events of life, in the experiences that he allows in our life, we can trace his hand. Oh, the Lord was right there. The Lord opened this door, and the Lord closed that door, and the Lord provided this, and the Lord, and we're testifying and experiencing all of the things that God can do for us. And then our trust begins to grow. Thank the Lord. But it will not grow in leaps and bounds. It will grow little by little. The scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they weren't given the whole promised land in one battle. They had to fight battles over and over, and they learned to be warriors by fighting one battle after another. God does that for you and me. He gives us the battles. He gives us the experiences. And he says, I want you to learn something from this. Let it teach you something. And so he's saying here that we need to acknowledge him. When you're going through something, look to the Lord. Do it in prayer. If you're not on your knees, do it as you do your job. As you go about your business, pray. Oh, you say, I can't concentrate. Then cry out the name of the Lord. He will know your heart. He will know what you need. Thank the Lord. And it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health. This is how you will develop in a healthy way spiritually if you're fearing God and you're not leaning to your own understanding and you're trusting in Him, then you will have health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with all thy substance, with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be full. Are you trusting? You want your barn full? Oh, you say, well, I don't really have a barn. You do have a barn. You have a storehouse. You're storing up something to help you spiritually, to grow spiritually. Thank the Lord. So the scriptures here gives us a little direction for us to learn how to trust. I'm thinking about Job and how he trusted. Job was an upright man. He was one that trusted God. He worshiped the Lord. He loved his God. He obeyed God. You know how that Job, when he saw that his children were having their banquets and all, he was concerned for his children. He would make sacrifices and pray for them. But he was a man of God. And so one day we know the account that the devil was walking to and fro and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, that opened a door for him to be sorely tested. And we find that as his test grew, as he lost everything, that he worshiped the Lord because he could trust in him. And this is what he said as he worshiped the Lord. He said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what if? Let's use this example. Let's use this experience. There have been those that have lost everything. Maybe a fire came. We've had those among us that happened that way. Lost everything. How do we take it? Are we going to be bitter towards God and blame God? Or are we going to trust Him and say, He wants something to work for my good out of this experience? And look for the good. Look for the light that is shining behind the cloud. Yes, it's clouds, but do we know that the light, the sun is shining behind the cloud? That's trust. It hasn't gone away. It isn't gone forever. Just because the clouds are covering the sun, we still know the sun is there. So we can come before the Lord, and even though we might have lost everything, and we can say it the same as Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He honors that because that is an honor to God. That is saying, Lord, I trust you that you're going to cause this to work for my good. That's trust. I want you to always quote that scripture to the Lord. Make it your scripture. I use that a lot. Lord, you said this. This is your word. This is your promise. And I know you cannot lie. It cannot fail. And if God says he will work everything for my good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose, he'll do it. We can look for the good. So over in Job, the 23rd chapter, is another scripture that tells us about Job in his trust in the Lord. And it's verses 8 through 12. And it says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not in the right book. Job, the 23rd chapter. Here I am. Verse 8 says, "Behold, I go forward." This is Job speaking. "And he is not there. And backward, and I cannot perceive him. on the left hand. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. There's going to be times that you and I will pass through these kind of places, that we won't be able to hear the voice of the Lord, and we won't be able to see him. We won't be able to see him work. We won't be able to feel his presence. And that's a test. And that's when we trust and we wait. But here's what Job said. But he knoweth the way that I take. Yes. Live your life that God will know the way that you take. That you've made your choice and you will not change. You will not back up. You will trust in the Lord. But he knoweth the way that I take, for when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath not held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. My foot hath held his steps. I stuck a word in there. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'm learning to trust. Little by little. Here a little, there a little. I am following the Lord and I'm learning how to trust. Thank the Lord. So in the 13th chapter of Job is another scripture that speaks about his trust. We're going to look at verse 15. And this is a good one. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, we don't know the future and we don't know what God's plan is for our life, but we may come to the place that we'll have to use that and have that kind of trust. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So we have purposes and we have goals, and our goals should be that I grow in trust. I'd like to speak just a little bit now about fear, because fear affects our trust. And David said in one place, he said, what time I am afraid, what did he do? I will trust. I will trust in thee. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. The enemy loves for us to have fears. And he does it through imaginations. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? But the scripture is so valuable that we know the scripture, because it says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Imaginations, we have to understand and remember that we have said it before, there is no grace for imaginations. The Lord spoke that to me, and I've had to have my daughter speak it to me. When I was sick with the COVID, and I was going through some of the things that Lorenda has spoken of, Sarah would have to say, Mother, there is no grace for imaginations. Imaginations can destroy our confidence and our faith and our trust. So we have to resist it. We have to recognize this is just imagination, see. So he says here in the, He said, I will, what time I am afraid, and we are going to have fears. We are human beings of the earth, and it's common and normal for us to experience fear. It just happens. We learn things by our fears. But in the 118th Psalms and verse 6, it says that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That's something that will help your trust. When you believe that God is on your side and that you can trust him, and you don't have to be afraid to trust him. Then in another scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but what has he given us? He's given us power, he's given us love, and he's given us a sound mind. Let's act on that and develop that. It will help us to grow in trust." In Isaiah 46:4, and it says this, "Oh, this is for good for all of us. If you're young today and you continue to live, you will someday be where I am. You will have the gray hair. You will not look the same as you did the day you got married." I have people that come in, young people, and they see a picture of Lord and me when we got married. Is that you? Life changes the way we look. And when we get old, he's wanting us to have a trust that is a strong trust. We should have developed our trust that, you know, we sometimes call it a divine trust. We start out with a simple trust and we allow it to grow. But it should come to the place that I have a divine trust. So this scripture says, "Even to your old age, I am he." He's not going to change because we get old. And he's going to be the same to the ones that are young. I've often said I want the Lord to prove himself to the younger generation. Allow the Lord to work in your life. Allow the things to come. Don't be overwhelmed to the point that you can't learn something from those experiences and be developed in trust. So it says, "I am he." I'm going to be there when you're old. I was there when you were young. Another scripture says "I have watched it." This is my paraphrasing. "I have watched down through the ages of time." That's me. "I have watched the people of God, and I've never seen them begging bread. I've never seen them where God did not come through for them." That's what that scripture means. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, God will be there for you, for me. And then it says, "Even to your gray hairs." And then it says, "I will carry you." You can trust him to be there when you need him to carry you. We have a little poem that is popular even in the world, at least it once was. And it was called Footprints. And it showed two sets of footprints walking on the shore. And pretty soon there was only one set of footprints. And so this person that was writing the poem had it in their mind that God was the one that left, that they were left alone. Listen, what did this poem say? He's carrying us, and he will carry us. He will carry you, and you can trust him. You can trust him. I will carry you, even I will carry you, and will deliver you. You can trust him. There is a little saying that sometimes we have to trust his wisdom, but as well as his power, or maybe it's switched around. We trust his power and we trust his wisdom, because sometimes it may not go the way we want it to. It might not be my way. So I want to close with the song of I Still Trust You. And this is such a blessed song, and from time to time it has been my song. And it says, "I've seen the righteous man suffered pain." And it looked like the wicked would go free. It almost looks that way, doesn't it? "And in my frustration, it just didn't seem right to me. I asked you for sunshine and you sent the rain. I cried for healing and I only got pain. But I know I can trust your love will see me through. That's what the Lord wants to bring us to, that we can trust Him, that whatever He allows in our life, He's able to help us. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you that you're able to guide me through this dry, barren land. And when I don't know which way to go, I still trust you, so let me hold to your hand. I trust you because you've been so faithful to me. That's what our trust is built on, the fact that God is a faithful God. And you said in your word, I'll never leave nor forsake thee. Lord, I'll go with you until the end. Your blood has cleansed me from all guilt and sin, and your promise I'll hold on to. Oh, Lord, I love trusting you. I want to tell you something. You can love it too. You can love His word. You can love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's part of trust. And you can allow your trust to develop and grow. You can look back a year from now and you can say, that's where I was, but that's where I am today. And you can grow in the things of God. Thank the Lord. I still trust you. I'm going to read the chorus again. I still trust you. I still trust you, Lord, that you're able to guide me through this dry, barren land. And when I don't know which way to go, I still trust you. Yes. Thank the Lord. It's just a simple thought this morning, but I want to encourage us how gracious and how merciful and how loving and kind He is to us. He's promised, I'll not give you more than you're able to bear. And there'll come a time that you're going to think, the Lord's given me more than I can bear. And it's at that time that you still trust.
Yes, Lord.
That you love trusting Him. But I want to tell you something. It won't happen overnight. It will happen as time goes on, as you grow, as the Lord puts experiences in your life, as you taste of Him. It's a lifelong development. I'm still developing in my trust. But God wants each one of us to develop at our own pace. Do you believe that? I do. I believe the Lord knows how to work with every individual. He knows how to, He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. I can look back over my life and I can truthfully say He has not made one mistake. He's always put in my life exactly what I needed. Oh, it doesn't seem like it right at the time. But as I learned to trust, and as I put my hand in His hand, He will bring me through it. And I can get past it, and I can say, I learned something that I could never have learned any other way. He wants to prove Himself to us. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.